Amen. As you notice in your bulletins, we have our missionary moment of the week with Asa and Vanessa Watson. You'll see that in your bulletins. Be sure to read their story and learn more about what God is doing through their ministry. We also have the prayer request there for our Moldova missionaries also, so be sure to take a look at that. But we are beginning today our emphasis on our Lottie Moon Christmas offering and our International Week of Prayer for Missions. You'll see these brochures in the windowsills and at the doors. Be sure to grab one of these this morning and begin your time of prayer. It begins today and goes through next Sunday. And so we wanted to share with you a brief video. So some people may wonder, what is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering? And so we want to share a video with you that gives you a little bit more information on that.
2019 marks 100 years that Southern Baptist Offering for International Missions has been called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. You probably know that 100% of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes directly overseas to support IMB missionaries serving around the world. 0% goes to overhead and administrative cost. Every penny goes directly to IMB missionaries to declare the majesty of Christ to a lost world. Inspired by a spirit of a gospel-driven partnership, the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering is an effective initiative that God is using to extend His work in a world that desperately needs to hear that Christ died for the forgiveness of sin because of the mercy and grace of God. Lottie Moon isn't the name of a clever marketing campaign. It marks the legacy of a giant who followed Christ with full surrender and championed others to do the same.
And so as you're praying through that prayer guide, just know that as you give towards the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, as you saw in the video, 100% of that goes to support the missionaries on the field. So we want to encourage you to take the time to do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for our IMB missionaries, for our missionaries of the week also, and just ask for God's blessing upon them and our Moldova missionaries. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessing of this day. Thank you that we can come before your throne of grace. And Lord, we just pray that your Spirit will move here in a powerful in a mighty way this morning. Lord, we pray for you to just uplift us with your mighty strong arm. Give us the strength that we need to keep pressing forward each moment of each day. Father, forgive us of our sinfulness, Lord, where we have sinned against you, and wash us and cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, that you would hear our prayers this morning. We especially want to uplift the Watsons who are serving the European peoples, Father, in Germany. We pray, God, that you would have your hand upon them and our partnership even with our Tennessee Baptist Convention with Germany. And Father, we just pray that you would open up doors and windows of opportunity for them to share the gospel. Give them, Lord, the words to speak. And we just pray, God, that you will send partners alongside of them to help them to share the gospel, as well as raising up people in the country to become Christians and share the gospel also. Be with our Moldova missionaries, Father, and we ask your blessings upon them as they continue to seek to train people, and as Ryan especially is traveling about to do that. And Father, we especially want to pray for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering and our week of prayer here for each one of these missionaries. Lord, lay it as a burden upon our hearts. If we don't even give, Lord, help us to remember to pray. Lord, because that is where the true power is at. And Lord, I pray that as we pray, may you move in our hearts to give, Lord, of our resources that we have and that you blessed us with, that 100% of that will go to support those missionaries on the field. We thank you for the opportunity each and every Sunday in our giving that part of that offering goes to support those missionaries, but this offering goes 100%. So, Lord, we ask that you would multiply it, that you would bless it, that you would help us, Lord, to give liberally and generously to this offering. And so we ask your blessings upon us, Lord, as we come to worship you. We pray, God, that any burdens that we may have brought with us this morning, any cares or worries, Father, may we lay those at the foot of the cross. And, Lord, we pray that you will just lift those burdens from us, fill us with your Spirit to keep pressing on one moment at a time, one day at a time. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. Well, just want to remind you, too, that you can do your regular online giving there on the website. Go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com, go to the far right-hand side and click that Give Online tab. You can do the giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering also on that, or you can put it in these envelopes. They're around also. Be sure to grab one of those and put your offering in that. Or if you put it in this, make sure you designate it in the memo line what it's for. If it's for general offering and Lottie Moon, you can do that also. But you can do that on the website there. And encourage you to take the time to do that. We've got several things that I wanted to remind you of this morning. Don't forget about our angel tree. It says by December the 11th. We need those back by next Sunday, if at all possible. That's the day, the 11th is when they're going to be actually picking those up. So try to get those back to us by next Sunday if you can. We've got a couple of other things that I wanted to share with you also. One of those is this Friday is the Christmas parade. I'm going to be at this door as you leave this morning. If you're willing to help us in walking the parade route to hand out some gifts that we want to give to people, please see me there. If you would be interested in just helping us to put those together, we need some labels put on some cards, as well as taking those cards then and putting them on some candy cane packets so that we can get those back by the end of this week. They are not ready to give to you today. We'll have those, everything ready and finished tomorrow. For you to stop by and pick those things up if you will help us with that. So please let me know that as you leave this morning. If you're going out that way normally, just come around and check me out over here so that I can make sure that we let you know about that. And I think I had one more thing maybe. Nope, that was it. Okay. I think that was it. I think we got some more that we'll give you at the very end of the service. So Brother Mike.
Hymnals again and turn to 151 and join us as we sing The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Ladies?
I must be go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall e'er give sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I
Church will be gathering during this next hymn over on the piano side. And if you would, stand and join us as we sing At Calvary, hymn 138, At Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free.
I'm still dealing with the cough, so bear with me this morning. Especially if I go to coughing, I'll get over it in a minute. All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 22 through verse 32. I can already tell you we're not going to get through everything in these verses. As I was studying this week and getting ready to finalize this message, I was like, there's just too much in here to really address in a way that you need it addressed, that we need to hear God's word at in and so pertinent to the things that are going on in our world. We are going to read the entire scripture here in these verses. We are going to begin with verse 18, although your screen says Romans 1, 22 to 32. That's going to be the focus of this message, but I want to pick up with where we left off the last time to kind of set the foundation, the stage as we go into these next verses, which are a much needed message for our world today. So let's stand as we read God's word. In honor of his word, we're going to read the entire section here together. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a powerful passage this morning. I pray, Lord, as there is so much here, may you break this down, Lord, into pieces that we could be nourished on, pieces that will help us, Lord, to grow in our walk and our faith with you, and pieces, Lord, that would be also there to communicate the gospel to those who are without Christ. So bless your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Let me ask you this morning, as I've entitled my message this morning, what's wrong with the world? Have you ever looked around and wondered what in the world is happening to us? It seems as though the headlines pushes the boundaries a little further and further. Every generation drifts a little bit deeper, and every culture chooses a little more darkness over light. People ask, why are things so broken? Why is there so much confusion? Why doesn't our world even seem to think straight anymore? Well, Paul answers that question not with politics, not with psychology, not with opinion, but with divine truth. And that's what we're going to dig into here. In Romans chapter 1, Paul takes us, if you will, behind the curtain of human history, and he shows us the spiritual root of all of our moral decline. Not just those who are out there, but those who are in here also. What is our moral decline? He tells us what's wrong with the world. He's going to tell us what's wrong with our culture. And yes, even what's wrong in the human heart apart from the grace of God. He tells us that humanity has made two tragic, dark exchanges. First, we exchange the glory of God for images. That's what we call idolatry. And secondly, he tells us here in these verses that we exchange God's design for sexuality for something that he never intended. And so what the Apostle Paul here explains in Romans 1 is about why a nation, a culture, or a whole society finally slides into unrestrained, wicked, destructive evil. When that happens, it's absolutely different from anything you'll ever hear on the news, anything you'll ever see on the internet, or that you're taught in most colleges and universities today. It's completely different. And do you know why most people can't see what's going on in this world to answer that question? Because as a society sinks deeper and deeper into sin and moral decay, one of the first things that happens is you begin to lose the ability to even recognize what's happening around you, what's taking place. The mind of our culture is flawed. It no longer has the spiritual categories to call evil, evil, and good, good. Things that ought to shock us don't shock us anymore. Things that ought to grieve us make us shrug our shoulders. And that's how far gone a nation can get. And that's the day in which we're living right now. You can see it everywhere that you turn. People cannot make sound moral judgments anymore. Wrong is called right, dark is called light, bitter is called sweet, just like Isaiah said it would be. And the frightening thing is that most people think, oh, that's just fine. You can believe what you want to believe, I can believe what I want to believe. And that's exactly why Romans chapter 1 is one of the most desperately needed portions of Scripture for our time, and why we're going to take so much time to continue going through it. It's also why it feels so strange and so foreign when you first read it. Because listen to me carefully, if a biblical truth does not feel a little strange and out of step with the spirit of this age, then it probably isn't telling us what we need to hear. Because we've gotten so used to it that we think, oh, that's normal. You saw that list of sins we read at the end? We think that's normal. What we need is a word from outside of this dark world. We need a word from heaven, a word from God himself. And when that word comes, don't be surprised if it sounds strange to our ears, because we have become strangers to this living God living in a self-absorbed, me-first generation. In the last verses of this section, Paul is giving us that list that we went through there of 21 kinds of evil that show up when a society has turned its back on God. But everything we're going to look at over these next few verses that start this chapter, or start this section, deal with the first exchange. Everything begins with, what do you do with the glory of God? What do you do with his weight, with his worth, with his majesty, with his presence? Now, Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 that here is the problem with all of humanity. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Understand this, that is the root. Every sin that we commit grows from that. Every culture that collapses begins there. Every dark exchange starts with an exchanged glory. So first I want you to see what Paul says about this first exchange, this turning away of the human heart from the glory of a holy God towards empty idols that we create, so that instead of drifting, we will stand firm. I want you to see all of this so that you'll stand firm. That instead of exchanging, you will treasure. And instead of darkness, you'll walk in his marvelous light. So as we go back, I want you to go back to last week's text as we begin here and see exchanging God for substitutes. Now, when we hear that word idols, immediately, for some of us, our minds just shut off. And we think, that doesn't apply to me. I don't have any idols in my home. I don't have them sitting on the shelf at home. I don't bow down before idols. But I want you to know that anything you place before God has become an idol in your life, no matter what it is. And so look again at verse 18 down to verse 23. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their righteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them. In other words, we talked about this last week. God has made himself very plain to us. He has revealed himself completely to us. And he says that all of this has been made known to us, made plain to us, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely, he talks about his eternal power and his divine nature. All you have to do, he's saying, is look around at the creation. Look at the stars. Look at the sun. Look at the moon. Look at the birds. Look at the trees. Look at humankind. Look at everything around you, and you can see the hand of God in creation. It didn't just poof out of nothing without a divine creator. And he says that all of that has been made clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made so that they are without excuse. There is not a person on the face of this earth, whether they have heard the gospel message that Jesus Christ came to save them or not, that does not know that there is a God who created this world, because he has made it known to them. Every person on this earth sees the same stars you see, sees the same moon you see, sees the same sun you see. And yet, we turn our backs upon God over and over. And then notice verse 21 again here. He says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So Paul explains that God has revealed himself clearly. His power, his nature, his majesty are written in the skies above us and the world around us. Nobody has to guess, is there a God who exists? Because he has made himself known. But instead of honoring him or thanking him, humanity has turned away from him. We have suppressed, as Paul goes on to tell us, we have suppressed the truth that there is a God who created you and loves you. And so instead of worshiping him, we worship the things he made, is what Paul goes on to say in those verses. And the moment that a person, the moment that a culture or a nation begins to remove God from its center, something else rushes in to take his place. And that's where idolatry begins. It doesn't begin with some carved statue sitting on the mantle at home. It begins in the heart that says, I can run my life better than you can. The Bible tells us that when that begins to happen, our thinking becomes empty. It becomes futile. We lose the ability to reason clearly. And the mind, our minds were designed to know God, to enjoy God, to worship him, to enjoy God. And that when you begin to remove God, your mind begins orbiting around the wrong center. You can be brilliant, you can, and still be wrong if your wisdom does not begin with God. Paul is telling us that humanity has traded the majesty of God for the handiwork of our own hands, for our own imagination. We've traded the fountain of living water, as the Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah, for broken cisterns that can't hold anything. We've traded the Creator for the creation. And it wasn't simply an innocent mistake. What Paul is saying here is it was a deliberate exchange. It wasn't that you did this out of ignorance. We deliberately did this in our sin. We saw his glory. We saw his power. We knew enough to honor him, to worship him, to thank him. But we didn't. We chose an alternative. We chose self. We chose our own independence. Paul says that when the glory of God is exchanged, there are four spiritual consequences that begin to unfold, and you'll see these in the world around you. The first is this: that exchange of God's glory for the things of this world produces empty thinking, in verse 21. They became futile in their thinking. Some versions say speculations. That's what it means. It means empty thinking, hollow logic, useless reasoning. You see, as we said, God created our minds to think true thoughts about him. He gave us imagination to wonder, to worship, to create beauty that reflects his glory. But when humanity turns from God, the mind no longer works like it should. The mind becomes misaligned, like it's always pulling to the wrong side of the road, like a misaligned tire. You take Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 4. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, he used his mind and his might to build that great city of Babylon. And then Daniel says in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30, here's what Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, "Is not this great Babylon which I have builded by my mighty power? Look at what I've done." And that's the message from the world today. Look at what we have done. You can do it. You don't need God. You can do it yourself. And God was so displeased with his pride and his failure to use his mind to acknowledge God that here's what it says in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 33. Immediately, the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men. He ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle feathers and his nails were like birds' claws. He lost his ever-loving mind. And then comes the key words in verse 34 that Nebuchadnezzar says. At the end of the days of losing my mind and eating like a cow out on the fields there, an ox out in the fields, letting my hair grow long like eagle feathers, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven. And my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. Do you get what happened? The